Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This lecture, Proof That 9/11 Was an Inside Job, is based on one presented by Professor Morgan Reynolds to the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. on the 6th of September 2006. Morgan has kindly agreed for us to anglicise the content so as to make it more applicable to a British audience. The reason why 9/11 is so important is because since that day, so much has been based on it, the illegal invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq, for example. Furthermore, hidden fairly well behind the scenes, you will find that many new laws, rules and regulations have been quietly passed by both the US and UK governments, all in the name of fighting terrorism. These laws, rules and regulations have one purpose only, which is to attempt to remove all possibility of objection or dissent from a United Nations plan called Agenda 21. The reason why this lecture is billed as If You Care About Your Children is precisely because of UN Agenda 21, which is designed to break up families, societies, and nations as a whole. There are two points to consider. If all this restrictive legislation, and it is restrictive, you can be assured, has been based on a lie, or lies, because 9/11 is a lie, then what right does any government have to impose it? And of course it has to be false anyway, for the very simple reason that the primary aim of any terrorism is to make the target population change their way of life. Consequently, any legislation that imposes any additional restrictions because of some act of terrorism has, by definition, changed our way of life, and therefore the terrorists have won, by definition. Therefore, the only way to actually beat the terrorists is to make sure that you don't change your way of life one iota because of any act of terrorism. For these reasons, the whole idea of some war on terrorism is immediately bogus. Tony B. Lyer, quoted after the 7/7 bombings, said, "I won't give an inch to terrorism." No, but he will take every freedom and liberty you possess, starting with your freedom to peacefully protest and your freedom of speech. We are actually placing our own freedom at risk by writing and recording this narrative. However, we firmly believe we can prove everything we say should that ever become necessary. Nevertheless, even that may not be sufficient from now on. Even if there were Islamic terrorists running around willy-nilly, and we assure you there are not, then even that is no excuse to clamp down on you or us, nor any other peaceful person. Well, is it? What sort of restrictions are we talking about? Okay, well, these days, if you are questioned by the police for any reason whatsoever, they will automatically take a copy of your DNA and log it into the DNA database. Even if you are not actually charged with anything or eventually found to be completely innocent, your DNA will remain on the database for the rest of your life. The government will tell you that there is a mechanism for removing your DNA from the database, but it turns out that this mechanism is a bureaucratic nightmare in practice, from which only your death releases you. The example given when an application to remove is valid is a situation where an elderly relative suddenly dies and a coroner eventually decides that the death was natural, thereby exonerating all family members. In this circumstance, the family members could apply to have their DNA removed and entered into the realm of the bureaucratic nightmare, where they would be bounced from pillar to post, going round in circles. One important question arises. Why is this so? Well, the reason for this are the subject of what we hope will be another lecture. However, for now, let's look a little more closely at this. The thing to remember is that your DNA is in every cell in your body, your hair, for example. If someone were to collect a stray hair from the back of your jacket and leave it at a crime scene, you would immediately be framed for something you didn't commit. And furthermore, you wouldn't have the slightest idea who framed you. Fingerprints are transportable, but you generally know what you touched and who you were with at the time. However, as we've explained, your DNA is totally transportable without your knowledge. The idea of a DNA database is the most dangerous thing known to mankind for that reason. The possibilities for abuse are unlimited. Nothing to hide but everything to fear, we suggest. So why does Tony Blair want your DNA so badly that he will collect it at every possible opportunity and never let it go? Well, that's something to think about, as well as what you're about to hear during this lecture. Another example of restrictive legislation is the National ID card scheme proposed by the government. Both ex-Home Secretaries David Blunkett and Charles Clarke have said that a national ID card will not stop terrorism. Now that is interesting, isn't it? Think of all the bogus arguments they've come up with in order to make biometric ID cards palatable. Yet they actually stick to the truth when they say that the cards won't stop terrorism. Why do you think are they prepared to lie about every other aspect of the ID cards, yet tell the truth about this crucial and central issue? Have they swallowed a truth drug? No, we don't think so. You see, there is a lot of evidence to suggest that the London bombings were arranged by the Secret Services. That they were arranged to frighten you to accept all the restrictions the government has already imposed, and all those restrictions and clampdowns they wish to impose in the near future. Consequently, if this is true, then to claim that the national ID card would stop terrorism would undermine their ability to create such inside jobs, because the first subsequent inside job created would raise the cry, "I thought you said our ID cards would stop all this terrorism." So they dare not claim that a biometric ID card would stop terrorism, dare they? They can claim anything else, but not the thing they need to use in order to roll out their agenda. They would not be able to afford to kill their golden goose. Could that be the reason why both ex-Home Secretaries Blunkett and Clarke have said that a national ID card will not stop terrorism? So that they have made no claim that would jeopardize their ability to frighten you into submission at any time in the future. Other examples of restrictions are all the cameras that cause someone in London to be photographed some 300 times during any one day. Please let us assure you that these things are no accident and all part of very careful planning. The 7th of July London bombings and 9/11 have been used as pretexts. The various other scares, such as the ricin factory, tanks at Heathrow, the Forest Gate chemical factory, and the recent London air scare, along with their counterparts in the United States, Canada, Madrid, and Delhi, etc., are also just as bogus. There is, therefore, a very real possibility that your government, via its totally unaccountable secret services, is doing it to you, while blaming someone else, isn't there? They're all called false flag operations. It's important to know where the real blame lies. It's also important to expose it. If enough people understood what was really happening, George W. Bush and Tony B. Lyer would be tried for treason, along with many, many others. Okay, fine, you're not convinced by this preamble? That's perfectly understandable. We hope by the time this lecture is over, you will, even if you still remain unconvinced, at least give it all some serious thought. Resident on the internet, there is far more information than can possibly be presented here. In other lectures, we may hope to present some of it. For the present, just do two things. Sit back and listen to what is being said, and afterwards, turn it all over in your own mind. See if you can find the holes that we can't see. Okay, enough of that. Let's consider the largest of the false flag operations, 9/11, for the simple reason that it is by far the easiest to expose. and once exposed, it would open the door to expose all the other corruption that infests this planet.